Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying Hebrews chapter 12 on how to run the race with perseverance. The writer to the book of Hebrews has given us Jesus as an example to follow. Listen to the first two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ finished his race. He endured the suffering, he despised the shame, and he waited for God to give him the prize after he had run the race. Jesus came to be born King of the Jews. He claimed to be the King, and he claimed to be the descendant of David, to whom the throne belonged. The angel Gabriel told Mary about this one who would be born. He said to her, "You will conceive and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, and he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he'll rule over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I suspect that Mary told Jesus about that, and whether she did or not, he, being the Son of God, knew what his mission was. But on the way to becoming the king, which he has not yet become, he knew rejection, abuse, and insults. And there was another hurdle in the race. It was the cross. Jesus didn't spend any time acting like a king. He waited for God to give him the throne. But the joy of heaven and the presence of his Father was before him. His eye was on the goal, the finish line of the race. Now, one thing you know about runners, especially long-distance runners, they are noted for perseverance. They pursue their goal. They just keep on going. They don't watch themselves. They don't study their feet or watch other runners. There aren't any mirrors around the track where they train. The only place I saw mirrors in athletic facilities at the university were in the modern dance room. The Christian runner is told to see Jesus. Watch him. Watch what he endured and how he endured it. Watch what it cost him. What was God's will for him? What is God's will for me? To believe in his Son and to walk in his steps. The desire of Jesus was to please his Father in heaven. Now the Christian is urged to consider his life. Don't consider the lives of other Christians. The Old Testament saints are examples of others who joined the race, but Jesus is the leader and the perfecter of our faith. Did he succeed in the faith race? At the end, at the finish line of his life, instead of cheering him, they derided him. His enemies at his crucifixion said, "He trusted in God. Let God save him." What a wonderful thing to have inscribed on your tombstone. "He trusted in God," or "She trusted the Lord." That tells it all about the life of faith which we run. Does the example of Jesus in verse 2 mean anything to you as a believer? What are you called to do in your life of faith? That's something to think about. God may be wanting you to suffer as a testimony for him, but you won't suffer if you never speak for him. Many people keep quiet because they don't want the abuse of other people. They are ashamed to be known as Christians. But listen to verse 3. "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. One thing I can say without fear of contradiction, God doesn't promise the believer a rose garden. He doesn't promise to bless your business or your family. He is not waiting to pour out money to you if you give to the church. Nor does he tell you that he has a wonderful plan for your life. But he does tell us that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. That's what Paul told those first Christians on his missionary journey in Acts chapter 14. Through Paul, God told Timothy that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus told his disciples in private that the hatred of the world toward him would also come on them. Listen to John chapter 15, verse 18 and following. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. And in chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, Jesus continued, these things I have spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. If you were told by an evangelist that you would have a far better life if you believed in Christ, then he misled you. Your life can be far more difficult as a Christian than it ever was by being a friend of the world. Many people who became Christians lost their friends and some lost their jobs. And that's why I don't coerce people to believe in Christ. If you were persuaded by a man to believe in Jesus Christ, then you may back away when persecution comes. Now, don't lose sight of the gospel. The gospel is good news, but it is heaven-oriented. We tell men that there is a sure way to God. There is forgiveness and peace with God. Instead of eternal punishment, there is eternal life. All this is centered on eternity after death. That promise of living with Jesus Christ, our God, forever is fabulous. But some of us are not convinced. We know only earthly pleasures, although our life is as a shadow, and soon gone. Everyone ought to walk through a cemetery and read dozens of tombstones. Read the dates, when a person was born and when he died. And his life is between those two dates. Now consider eternity. The eternal joy of being in the presence of God is almost incredible, but that's our message and our destiny. In light of eternity, this brief life is not worth very much. Jesus also told them in John 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, with this background, we might better appreciate Hebrews chapter 12. Those Hebrew Christians were experiencing trouble from other Jews and from the world of hostility, and they were being tempted by sin. That's the reason why the writer points them to Jesus. If they are real followers of him, they will not desert him when trouble comes. Instead, there will be what we read in Acts chapter 5. In the face of threats and persecution, the apostles would not stop teaching. They endured. They were beaten by the leaders of the Sadducees. And verse 41 tells us, "Then they left the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name." Well, verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of striving against sin. Sin surrounds the Christian and hounds him throughout his life. If he doesn't struggle against it, it will shape his life. There are easy battles and difficult ones. There are some that cost one's blood. These Hebrews may have suffered some things, but not to the point of bloodshed, like Jesus did. And that's what the writer says in verse 4. "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." The Bible doesn't ask us to die for Christ, but it does ask us to live for Christ. We didn't believe so that we would perish. We believe because we believe he exists and he is a rewarder of them that seek him, and that reward is God himself. Jesus died for our sins to bring us to God. But now God's interest is for us to learn obedience and patience as we pursue the reward. Thus the Father allows the trials and troubles as part of our training for the joy of our final deliverance. Did the Hebrew Christians really suffer? Well, we saw that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, where he wrote, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on the prisoners, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance," or patience, "so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised." We'll continue our study tomorrow. I'll be here, and I hope you'll join me. The Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry of laypersons in Baton Rouge. It is supported by friends and listeners. Because we have volunteers, the Radio Bible Course has no payroll, and all gifts are used to defray ministry expenses. No person receives a salary or any benefits. Our courses on cassette tape will especially benefit those who teach Bible classes. But these courses are easily understood by those not well acquainted with the Bible. In Baton Rouge, the Radio Bible Course sponsors a Sunday morning Bible class. This 9:15 class, it's open to the public. We invite your comments about these broadcasts and welcome your questions related to the Word of God. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calipota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.